for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. meeting, December the 26th, 2009. Diane Stone is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Are You in the Secret Place?
Lord, I just ask you, God, to be here, Lord, with this teaching. God, anoint my words, and Lord, you speak through me, God, and you say the words that you once spoke for this hour, Lord. I yield myself to you, God. And I ask, God, that you speak in a mighty way. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart. Prick us, Lord, that we can go changed. I bind all evil spirits that would come against this teaching in the name of Jesus. I break all curses, every hex, vex, and spell. I break all curses of witchcraft and divination that would stand against it in the name of Jesus. And I speak forth the knowledge of God to go into prick hearts in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. When I was sitting in the service the other night, Clement Humbard said, "We are living now in Psalm 91. How many of you remember him saying that? Were you in here? And, you know, 20 years ago or so, when I first started coming to this camp, we had a bunch of end-time teachers that will say, someday we will be in the end time. Someday the last days will be here. Someday we're going to be living in Psalms 91. And I heard that for years and years and years. And now I'm hearing, we are here. And my message today is, church, are you ready? Are you living in Psalms 91? Or are you still having a deaf ear to the Word of God, and are your eyes still scaled over to the things that the men of God continually keep telling us over and over and over and over? Glenn Miller stands up here and tells us the same thing. And I remember 10 years ago, there was people that rolled their eyes and say, he has said that the last time I was here. And I thought to myself, because you're not getting it. And so he has to repeat it. And in the scripture, God doesn't just say things one time. It's two times. It's three times. And he continually says it, hoping that we will get it. That we will want to do it. That we can be one with him. That we can live in the provisions that he has for us. It's like when you say, I'm going on a diet, and you say, well, I'm going to do that tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. It's always a day away. And so, Psalms 91, I opened it up after Clement had said something about it, and it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And what is a secret place? It is a hiding place. It is a shelter. Are you in that secret place? Are you in that shelter of the Most High? It says you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. A shadow is a shade. Are you under it? If you're under it and in that shade, you can't be seen. And in the last days, you are to be in places that God will truly hide your presence. That's his protection. I have been in a room before, and there'll be people in there, and they'll be talking, and it's like they don't even recognize me. And I'll try to get in the conversation. Have you ever been there? And you'll try to say things, and it's like they don't even know what you're saying. That's being under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not going to be guns. It's not going to be all these militia things in the last days. It's going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Corrie Ten Boom, when she went in the concentration camp, was able to pass through the guards and was not seen. If you've read her book, The Hiding Place, that's exactly where she was. And she had a Bible, and she said, thought to herself, how am I going to get this Bible in there? And the angels totally covered her, and the guard passed her by. They checked the person in front of her. They checked the person behind her, but they didn't even see her. That is the secret place of the Most High. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. A refuge is a shelter from danger. There's not going to be any danger that comes near you. And my fortress, He's your stronghold, your fastness. That's what you hold to. My God, in Him will I trust. I'm not going to trust in things. I'm not going to trust in my husband or my children or my kitchen gadgets or the trips I take or my finances. I'm not going to trust in all that because all those things can be wiped out, ladies, and just like that. But God is always there. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare. A snare is like a trap. It's like a bird trap. It's something that snatches you. He can deliver you from that, of the fowler, which is the trapper or the bait layer that tries to trap you. You know, every day, and especially before camp meetings, we have lots of traps that tries to trap us, that tries to keep us from being here. We had a lot this week, and I sit down, you know, my dad is sick right now. But, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, every camp meeting, it seems like something keeps me from being here. And so I turned to God and I said, what's the solution in this? And He gave me a perfect solution. I called my daughter. My grandchild is overseeing after my dad for the next couple of days where I could be here. And I could teach this lesson. And I could help my husband pray for people. Not that I'm the only one that can do that, but that's what God wants me to do. And Satan will try to keep you from doing that every way he can do it. And so you have to look to God and say, God, what do I do here? What is your solution? This is just an attack. We had in our camper a water pipe that had burst. You know what? When we got down here, it wasn't leaking anymore. It was a trap to keep us from being here. You have traps. Many of you that have tried to come to be here had many things. Ice storms, snow, maybe a relative didn't want you to come. You had to fight through to get here. Good sign you're supposed to be here. And from the noisome pestilence, that's a plague. There's plagues everywhere. He is going to keep you from that. If you're in, I said, if you're in that hiding place and under His shadow, He's going to keep you. He says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And we're going to talk a lot today about the truth. The truth will set you free if you will apply it to your life, if you will do it, if you will walk it out. There's a bunch of ifs. The truth will set you free, but you've got to do it. You've got to apply it. It says, thou shalt not be afraid from the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling, it shall not come nigh thee. So, are things happening over here? Are things happening over here? Should you even be worried about it? No, because none shall come nigh thy dwelling if you are in the secret place of the Most High. That's the question I have for you today. Are you in that secret place, or are you still playing games with God? Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he hath given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, demonic powers, right and left. You're going to what? Tread upon them. It does not say they will overtake you. You're going to tread upon them and tell them to get out of your face. If you are in the secret place of the Most High, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. That's us. We're going to set our love upon God. It says, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He hath called upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. There is no trouble that will come nigh your dwelling that God is taken by surprise. He will deliver you from all these things if you dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And what will happen with long life? Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Your life will not be cut short. You will not die prematurely. You will not die of disease. You will be delivered if you are in the secret place of the Most High. Now, what can keep me from not being in this place? That's what we're going to talk about today. So, Lord, open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears, God, like you've never done before. Prick our hearts in these little foxes that we have kept and we have nurtured, God, and help us, Lord, to lay them down today. Lord, let us finally hear what you're trying to say to her. Say it one more time, God, that we are not left behind, but that we are in your anointed ones. We are in your flow. We are in that secret place, God. We are under your shadow. And God, we will be protected through this time, this end time. And you know, you will not be raptured out. That is another message in itself. You will go through. And as you go through, it will be God that brings you through. Now, he is preparing a church. He is getting us ready. He is not going to have a church that is half-baked. And I will tell you that right now. He is going now and tune-fining every one of us. He's doing it to me. He's doing it to my husband. He's doing it to our children. He's doing it to my father. He's doing it to our whole family. And I know if he's doing it to us, he is also doing it to you. No one is excluded. So I ask the Lord, look at Proverbs 3:32. 3:32. And this says, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. Forward, meaning going wrong, going crooked, being devious, being perverse. That's an abomination to the Lord to do that. But look what he says. He says, but his secret place is in the righteous. And that's where we want to be. And so you don't want to be abominable to the Lord. You don't want to be where he says that what you're doing is an abomination. And so that's where God has taken me today. What are the abominations in our lives that we have refused to give up? What is an abomination? It's being defiant. It's to refuse to change. It is a wickedness in the ritual and in the ethical sense. It is a foul thing. It is a detestable thing. It is an idol. It is an unclean thing. It is a counting of filthiness. It has a bad smell, a stink, and a smell that is very, very bad. That's what an abomination is. And so when we do these things, that's what God thinks about it. So we're going to look at the things that God calls abominable in the Bible. So if you will first turn to Deuteronomy 14:3, I'm not going to hit on all of them. I'm going to hit on what God told me to hit on. And this is what he told me. Deuteronomy 14:3, it says, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." Glenn Miller has preached on this over and over and over. You do not eat abominable thing. Remember, abominable means you're being defiant. It's a detestable thing. It's filthy. And you're not doing what God said. Turn to Leviticus 20, 25 and 26. Leviticus 20, 25 and 26 says, "Ye shall therefore put differences between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing which creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." So there is a difference between clean and unclean and the things you eat. And if you look and you read Leviticus 11, the whole chapter of Leviticus 11, it will tell you what is abominable before the Lord. And I'm going to read you certain verses because these are usually the ones that we refuse to follow. 11 verse 5, "And the coney," which is the rabbit, "because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. 6, the hare," and that's the squirrel. If you live in the country, it's possum and coon. I don't know if any of you eat that, but in Perry County, some people do. "Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. 7, and the swine," that's a pig, "though he divideth the hoof and cloven foot, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. And go down to 12, "whatsoever hath no fins, nor scales in the water," now look at this, "that shall be an abomination unto you." People continue to want to eat the catfish, the oysters, the crabs, the shrimp, and the clams. And God's word says it is abomination. It stinks and smells in the nostrils of God. Turn to Leviticus 19. Verse 5 through 8, "For if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings," it's a volunteer of thanking God for what you have and what you're about to eat, "and to the Lord ye shall offer it at your own will." We say blessings over our food at our own will. And a lot of times when I pray, I will break the curses over that food, even if it's a clean object, because it has gone through many hands. It's gone through farmers. It's gone through, unless I've raised it myself, or my husband has, it's gone through a lot of processing. And by the time you get it to your table, it could have many curses that have been spoken over that food. And so that's why we bless our food. We ask God to bless it. We break the curses off of it. And then we eat it. But now look at this. Verse 6, "It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow," that's the next day, "and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire, and if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted." You do not eat a leftover piece of food on the third day. If you're going to eat food, you eat it the first day or the next day. The third day, it's an abomination. That's people get food poisoning all the time. There are reasons for this law. God just didn't put a bunch of stuff in here, and then when you get to the New Testament, it's over with. There's a reason for these food laws. And the reason for not eating leftovers on the third day, it can make you sick. It's for your protection. The protection for catfish, it's a scavenger fish. It cleans up the bottom of the waters. You don't eat that stuff. Pigs have these little glands in their joints. And this duck comes out of that, and you can get trichinosis from it. You cannot cook pig high enough to kill the trichinosis worms. And you cannot get rid of trichinosis unless the Lord delivers it. If you're having joint trouble, maybe it's that. You're eating pig. And God says don't. There's a reason for these food laws. Rabbit fever. We had a young lady in our county that died of rabbit fever. She's 20 years old. She ate the rabbit at the wrong time of the year. You don't eat rabbit. There's a reason you don't eat it. The other abominable things, if you'll turn to Genesis 9:22, are sexual sins. 9:22, Genesis. There was a man that came to the camp, probably last spring, that pointed this scripture out, and it was such an eye-opener for me. I had always thought differently about this scripture until he pointed it out, and it was a revelation. And it was talking about that, you remember when Noah was in the tent, and he had become drunk, and it says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and lay it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." And it says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." I thought for a long time this was homosexuality. I thought that his son had uncovered his father. And then it was pointed out in verse 22, notice it says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan," now that's Ham's son, "saw the nakedness of his father." All right, now hold your finger there. Go to Leviticus 18:8. It says, "The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thy not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness." It's incest. Ham went into his mother because he uncovered his father's nakedness. And his father's nakedness was his father's wife. And so, because of that union, they had a son, Canaan. And Canaan was a product of incest. It has nothing to do with the black race either. It was an incest that came down. And many of us in this room have been involved in incest. And incest is an abomination that I can tell you this day can be prayed off. By the blood of Jesus, you can come up out of that. All right? Look at Leviticus 18:19. It says, "Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness." The uncleanliness they are talking about is your menstrual cycle. If you have had intercourse during your period, it is an abomination to God. And that is something you need to repent of. And many, many of us in this room have done that. Okay? Look at Leviticus 18:21. Go on down. "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." That is abortion. What they did, they had this statue that had their hands like this. And they would put their babies in the hands of the statue called Moloch. And there was fire, and they would burn it to this statue. And they would beat the drums loud where you could not hear the baby's cry. And the cry of these babies are going up today in our nation. Many of us in this room have had abortions that we need to lift up to God and get forgiveness for this day before you leave this room. You need a releasement of that. It's a murdering spirit. You are killing your own bloodline. You are killing your children, which is an extension of you. Look at 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Now here it is. It is abomination. Homosexuality. Lesbians. It's not of God. It's an abomination to Him. He hates it. You're being defiant and you're refusing to do what He wants you to do. Okay? Turn to 18:23. Next verse. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereof. It is confusion. That is beastology. If any of you have ever had sex with a dog or a horse or a calf, and some of us in here have done that, what does it say it causes? It causes confusion. Incest also causes confusion. And some of you that you feel like you're insane, that you can't think clearly, it's because this curse of incest and this curse of beastology has come down your bloodline and it will go 10 generations. And if it's performed over and over again, then it extends its time in your bloodline. There probably is not anyone in this room that does not come under this curse, because you do not know what your ancestors did 400 years ago. Even if you didn't do it yourself. And some of us may have done that ourselves. But you can get delivered from it. That's the good thing. That's why we're going over these things. 18:24-30. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. It tells you right there that everything I've read is an abomination to God. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, your ancestors, they were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also. You don't want to be spewed out because your ancestors did something or because you did something. You don't want to be spewed out. You want to be in that secret place. You want to be under that shadow of the Almighty. You want that protection in these end times. You want the pestilence to come. You want something to fall on your right and on your left, and you want to be fine. You want to be covered when you go somewhere, and the angels cover you so that you will not be seen by the enemy. You don't want to be defiled. And it says, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Cut off means you will die prematurely. If you do these sexual sins and you get sick, there's a big possibility you can die prematurely from it. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. You can stop at this day. You can be the force in your family line that stands up and repents for your bloodline, and you can apply the cross in your life and in the bloodline and stop it from going down any further. You can be the Christ-like figure that puts an end to it. You can be that oneness with the Lord, God Almighty. That's what He's wanting. It's like Clement said, He wants you to have the glory and the honor. But you can't have it if you've got these abominations in your life. It's holding you back. You can kid yourself all you want. But you have to push them out. You must get rid of them. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy 22:5. This scripture here has been very much misunderstood through the years. It says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. A cross-dresser. You're absolutely right. It's a transvestite. I am not doing wrong by wearing these pants. Is it not true in Jesus' time that men wear dresses? It couldn't mean that then, could it? It means transvestites. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17 and 18. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire, which is the price, of a whore. This means anyone that commits fornication, commits adultery. It could be an occult prostitute. It's anyone that is unfaithful. Or the price of a dog. Now, dog here means a cult prostitute. A male cult prostitute. That's what it means in the Greek. In the house of the Lord, thy God for any vow. For even both of these are abominations unto the Lord thy God. It's tithes being paid from prostitution. If you're in prostitution and you're bringing your tithes into the storehouse, that is an abomination unto the Lord. That's what it's saying. If you are a prostitute today, go out not being. Don't leave here being that. Deuteronomy 24:4. It says, when a man hath taken a wife, I'm going to go up to one, and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her. And this uncleanness doesn't mean like if he doesn't like how she sweeps the floor or something. It's stronger than that. It means if he found nudity, if he found shame, if he found a blemish, you know, if she did some sexual sin on him, if she went out on him, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, the one she marries, and writes her a bill of divorcement and gives it in her hand and sends her out of the house, or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled. When he let her go, she was defiled. She married another man and did the same thing. The former husband is not to take her back, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Ponder. Those are your sexual sins that are abominations that God wanted me to share. Now, Deuteronomy 7:25 talks about accursed objects. It says the graven images, that's carved images, and all these things that I'm explaining to you, I looked up in the Greek, and that's what the Greek said it was, of their gods. And that means the carved images of gods, goddess, and listen to this one, angels. A lot of people collect these angels, these statues of angels all around their house. Shall ye burn with fire? He says, get rid of them. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is in them. I don't care how expensive they were. Some people have gotten things from the Middle East and over in China. They're abominations. Buddhas, statues of Buddhas. If you've got anything like that in your house, get rid of it. But you know what? It doesn't say that I'm to give it to Crystal. It says I'm to burn it. Destroy it. I don't give it to someone else for it to be an accursed item to them. It says, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared. It means you're going to be caught up by a bait. You're going to be entrapped by it. For it is an abomination of the Lord thy God. See, witches, and warlocks, they can pray through these things. If you've got these things in your house, it can cause things to come in on you. If a witch gets an object of yours, a sweater, a pair of shoes, socks, whatever, if they get anything of yours, they try to pray on that to cause you, it's a point of contact that they can pray on it and it will cause you problems. If they give you a gift, maybe they give you a little angel statue, it looks so pretty and nice, and you set it in your house, that thing can cause you problems because it's a point of contact for that witch. So get rid of it. Neither shall thou bring an abominable thing into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. You will become accursed like it. If you have any objects like owls, frogs, maybe you have a fish aquarium. These little fish aquariums are really good about having these little temples in them. That's a Buddha temple in there, guys. If you have wrong books, some of you might have records, or your children might have records. They may have toys you need to go through. You know, a lot of times if your children have nightmares at night, you need to check their toy box. These are abominable things to God. We went to Arizona one time, and we went in this assistant pastor's wife and pastor's house with him and his wife's house, and they told us that their child was having trouble sleeping at night and just cried and screamed every time the child went in the room. And so I asked him, I said, is there anything in that room that would cause it? No, nothing they knew. And I said, can I look in that room? And they said, yeah. When I walked in the room, there was this blanket hanging on the wall. It didn't appear to be anything bad, but I got a really bad feeling about that blanket. See, it doesn't have to have a Buddha stamped on it. But I had this bad feeling, and I asked the mother, I said, where'd you get that blanket? And she said, oh, this Indian lady gave it to our son when he was born. And I said, what do you know about this lady? And she began to think about it, and this lady was not a Christian. She was into some voodoo thing, and she had cursed that blanket and gave it to them, and it was hanging on the child's wall. And I told her, I said, you know, it's up to you, but I said, if it were me, I'd take that blanket down, put it outside in the storage, you know, because I told her, I said, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's that blanket. And I said, then pray over the room, pray over your child, and see tonight if he sleeps better. And she did that. And when we talked to him later, the child was fine. So they took the blanket and they burnt it. So you've got to be very careful. If you have a picture on the wall that might even be a Christian picture, you might think, you know, that's an okay picture. Take it down, look on the back. Could have some Hindu prayer on the back or some Chinese writing that you don't know what it says. Look it over. Very good. If you have a bad feeling about something, chances are it's not a good thing. And if you're so attached to it that you cannot get rid of it, then probably there's something wrong with it. I had a bracelet, and still when I think about it, you know, I think, oh, I can't believe I did this. But my mom and dad had given me this little charm bracelet when I was a little bitty girl. And it had, you know, they'd buy charms every so often along it. And so God dealt with me with that, and he said, those are charms. And I argued with God for a long time, and I said, but my parents gave me that. I like that. I don't want to get rid of that. That's a special bracelet. And then finally one day, I just took a deep breath, and I took that thing, and I destroyed it. And it was hard because something in me was so attached. I had to break soul ties with that bracelet. And if you have to do that, something's not right with the things you've got. And it just said, it doesn't matter about the silver or the gold or who gave it to you. And, you know, I tell my children, I said, you know, I'm going to give you something out of love, but if it's wrong or you don't feel good about it or whatever, I said, you get rid of it. I would rather you get rid of it and have freedom than hang on to it and say, oh, Mama gave me that, you know, when I was 10 years old. And we do that. Because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Okay, verse 26. Neither shall thou bring any abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So when you think of it that way, it's not so hard. And you will feel a freedom that, ooh, I just didn't realize I was so attached to that thing. And we've done many things like that. It used to, when Tom and I first got married, our house was just white. It's probably better if your house is just white. But I decided I wanted wallpaper in my kitchen. So back then, it was popular to put these little geese and these little hearts. So I had geese and hearts all over my kitchen. Well, a geese is a, and it's a goddess, an Egyptian goddess piece. And see, it was made so that people would want these things. It was a popular thing. And the hearts, that's not how your heart is. It is the heart that the world has is shaped like an ovary. And it's a lustful looking heart. And if you've got all these lustful things all over your house, you're inviting things. So you've really got to look and you've got to seek God. Same things, ladies, when you go out to buy clothes, while we're on this topic. If you notice, I always have just plain stuff, usually. Because if you look a lot of times, there will be demonic things in these materials. I can see devil's heads and, you know, it might be a flower, but if you look close enough, it's in there. And so look at your materials when you buy something that you don't get tripped up with that.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.